1 Peter 2:24, "And he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." 1 Peter 2:24. 2 Peter 1:20-21, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." 2 Peter 1:20-21. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. "The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." Galatians 1, 4. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, and Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, and Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. A magnificent book, the book of Hosea. God has a special message for our hearts through this magnificent and wonderful book of Hosea. I appreciate so very much your attentiveness. You sit, you listen attentively and carefully. That's how it should be, because we have God's Word before us, and we're reading from it, God's eternal message. How magnificent that message is from this wonderful book of Hosea. We find Jesus Christ on every page of the Word of God, in essence, every book of the Old Testament. We are going to see how beautiful to find Jesus in the book of Hosea. His love is manifested so magnificently. We're thankful for God's grace and love. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we know that you care for us and love us. You promised us in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us, but that you would be with us always, even unto the end of the world. Our lives on this earth, at the longest, are extremely brief. Therefore, help us while we're here to major on the major aspects of life and minor on the insignificant aspects of life. Help us to have Jesus Christ preeminent in our hearts and lives. That's our reason and purpose for being here. That's the only reason for being in this auditorium now, is to be able to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. These are magnificent verses of Scripture, startling verses, and we thank you that we have the privilege of studying them. In Jesus' name, amen. In preparation for this service today, I have for you on the screen Hosea 1:2, which says, "When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, 'Go take to yourself a wife of prostitution, harlotry, and have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord.'" Then if you'll turn the page and go to chapter 3, verse 1. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes.'" When I looked at verse 1 of chapter 3, I felt it necessary to check out the different translations. And I copied at least 14 different translations from chapter 3, verse 1. I'll only read two of those. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go and love your wife again.' even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship those other gods. You talk about a startling way. We need to look at this from the original text and see what we have here. I like this Living Translation. Then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love those to worship those other gods. Then I discovered one other. The International Standard Version says, then the Lord said to me, go love your wife again, even though she is being loved by another and is committing adultery. Love her the same way the Lord loves the people of Israel, even though they look to other gods and love raisin cakes. Symbolic of idolatry. Then the Lord told me, let me repeat it, go love your wife again, even though she is being loved by another and is committing adultery. Love her the same way the Lord loves the people of Israel, even though they look to other gods and love raisin cakes. When I came to the preparation for this message, I couldn't help but write, Hosea's story presents Jesus. What a title. Hosea's story presents Jesus. Number one, if you research the name Hosea, you will also discover that Hosea's name is also related to the name Joshua, which means salvation. We've already emphasized that in the previous session, but I felt it was necessary to repeat. Number two, Hosea was a young preacher, a layman, in the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. He was a contemporary of the prophets Isaiah and Amos. He lived, as we are told in the first verse, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, the southern kingdom, and during the reign of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. Number three, Jeroboam was one of the wicked kings of Israel, and the nation was going through a difficult time when Hosea was preaching. What we discover is that the people were what I call living it up, as we might say in our modern terminology. They didn't have much time for God. That's about the way it is in the United States of America, isn't it? People are living it up, don't have much time for God. They wouldn't have really said that, of course, because no one will say that they don't have any time for God. Instead, they may have said something like we do today. It was just a case of not having quite enough time to meet the demands. I'm so busy. Life is so busy. I just don't have enough time to meet the demands that God made upon us. They were so busy with so many other important things. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Have you ever heard that? That's what's being said today. Oh, but listen. The first child is born. God picked the name Jezreel. Now, Jezreel is the name in the Hebrew language which means castaway. It was a name of shame. I would like for you to write, just abbreviate through your notes today, the first child, God picked the name Jezreel. Now, Jezreel means castaway, the name of shame in Israel. Nevertheless, that was the name that God picked for Hosea's oldest boy, the first boy. And that was the name Hosea gave to his baby. For he understood that God was thus warning his people. They too would be cast away if they didn't recognize the folly of their actions. If they didn't turn from going after idols and giving way to abominable practices, trying to be like everyone else around them. Isn't it interesting that we're living in a time now where people are always wanting to be like someone else? God was warning them with that baby's name, Jezreel. Then the second child comes. In the course of time, another child, a daughter this time, was born to Hosea. This one was named Lo-Ruhamah, which means not pitied. You ought to write these names and write the meaning, the definition for the names. We have the word Lo-Ruhamah, which means not pitied. Imagine naming your little girl not pitied. It's interesting to me how people pick out names for their children. You don't pick out names stupid, dumb. You know, I mean, you are careful how you pick out names. But here's a name, Lo-Ruhamah, which means not pitied. It meant that God would no longer have pity on his people if they continued their stubborn rebellion. If people continue to go away from God, then this name is fitting, Lo-Ruhamah. His patience wears thin. And then the third child, Gomer conceived again and bore another child. This time as another little boy. And this one God named Lo-Ami. L-O-A-M-M-I. Some say Lo-Ami, Lo-Ami. Which means not my people. For God was saying, you're not my people, and I will not be your God if you continue to go the way you're going. God had said that he would name these children as a sign to his people. But there would be a day of restoration. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, God says, and I will have pity on not pity. I will have pity on not pitied. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, thou art my God. Folks, you have to get this. In Hosea 2:23, God says, and I will have pity on not pitied. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, thou art my God. And so even though God was upset with Israel through Hosea's bad marriage, he was announcing that his grace was always being shown. I don't know whether you're taking an outline down, and I haven't taken much time to give you the numbers, but we're on number 8, just in case you missed the first 7. One day, Hosea came home. And you have to understand that a lot of this is what I think about it, just my thoughts, and I'm sharing with you my thoughts. One day, Hosea came home and found a note from Gomer. She had decided to find the happiness she felt she deserved, and she was leaving him and the children to follow what she called the man of her dreams, her real lover. Yet you know how those notes go. It's what we call in our day the Dear John letter. I had to change that in this case to Dear Joe. If you heard the first sermon this morning, you know that we are referring to him as Joe. Apologize, Joe. But anyway, dear Joe, what Gomer had done was she passed from one man to another. I'm not going to go into any discussion here about her lascivious life. I just want to show you something. She passed from one man to another until at last she fell into the hands of a man who was unable to even pay for her food and her clothing. Now remember that her first lover had given her so much. I just imagine he had given her a mink stole. But this one made her clothes from the standpoint that she had to go to the Goodwill store to get them. Trying to let you see what happened to Gomer. News of her miserable state came to the prophet. And in my imagination, he sought out the man with whom she was living. He knew exactly where to find him, went down to the local tavern. This is my imagination. And there he met that man. Here was a man who had been involved with his wife. He said to this man, I want to give you some money. And I'd like for you to buy Gomer some clothes. And see to it that she has plenty of food. And if you need any more, I will give it to you. I just imagine that old boy sitting there at the tavern, having I don't know how many drinks, took that money in hand, and this drinking bum probably thought to himself, you know what? There's no fool like an old fool. There's no fool like an old fool. Let me show you something. Love exists apart from reason and has its own reasons. You don't want to leave here today without understanding what I'm saying. Love exists apart from reason and has its own reasons. In other words, love, true love, does not act according to logic. Love acts according to one's own inner nature. And so Hosea acted on the basis of love. I have to tell you that there are many ways of telling this story, but I've chosen to tell it this way because I want you to really hear what I felt as I read and looked at these verses. Love acts according to one's own nature. And so Hosea acted on the basis of internal love. Can you imagine how his heart ached? Can you imagine how he wept? How do you explain to the children what Mama's doing? Can you go along with me and just think about it a little bit? Can you see a broken-hearted man whose wife has yielded to her lascivious tendencies of lasciviousness, and she's gone the way of adultery, prostitution, so to speak? Undoubtedly, in my imagination, he watched from a distance, even to catch a glimpse of the woman he loved. In fact, he gave money to this man. The man went and got groceries. He would be so enthusiastic about getting a glimpse of the woman he loved as she went out the door to take the groceries from another man's arms. The gifts that her true lover had provided. Oh my, did I just sit there and think about this? I hope you're with me. How long this went on, we really don't know for sure. But last, the word came that the woman Hosea loved was to be sold in the slave market. Her current husband had gotten tired of her, and she was now to be sold as a slave. This broken-hearted prophet, Hosea, didn't know what to do. So what did he do? He went to God in prayer, weeping. That's a good thing to do. And God said to him, in essence, Hosea, do you really love this woman in spite of all that she's done to you? Do you really still love this woman in spite of all she's done to you? And weeping, 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 tears rolling down his cheeks, he nodded through those tears. And he said, oh, yes, I still love her. Then God said, go show your love for her in the same way that I've loved the nation of Israel. Now, some of you may have forgotten what I'm saying. I'm bringing you back to see again. Go show your love to your companion who's gone the way of prostitution. Go show your love the same way that I love the nation of Israel. Are you still with me? We're here now with them bringing this woman up on the platform, stripped of her clothes. What kind of a condition is she in now? And there is this prophet looking out there, looking up, seeing this woman being brought up on the platform. The auctioneer begins to sell. Somebody bid 3 pieces of silver. Somebody bid 3 pieces of silver. And they did. And Hosea raised it to 5. Somebody else upped it to 8. And Hosea took it up to 10. Someone went to 11. Hosea went to 12. Then Hosea offered 15 pieces of silver and a bushel of barley. The auctioneer's gavel failed and Hosea had his wife back. What did he do? He went up and placed the clothes around her and led her off the platform and took her home with him. Now, I realize that there are other things I could tell you that the Bible says at this point, but I'm not going to do that now. At Bethlehem, God entered the slave market where the whole human race was putting itself up for an auction, prostituting itself and its humanity to a cheapened life. I'm talking about you and me in the world. But on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price, the full price for our freedom, and bought us back. This is the story of God's love and God's heart. His loving desire to make of his people the full persons he intended them to be. As I thought about this, I sat there and I thought about you. And I thought about me. I thought about our condition. I thought about sin and I thought about depravity. And I thought about how God was willing to send his only son down to the earth to become the God-man, God in the flesh, for the specific purpose of going to the cross to pay for your sins and mine. What a tremendous amount of love that is. What outstanding grace that is. The Apostle Paul is describing it when he said, "For by grace you're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast." You know what I believe about this congregation? Perhaps everyone in this auditorium today, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You realize that you were not worthy of His grace, but you accepted His provision and you're born into God's kingdom. But there are those who are hearing this voice who perhaps have never done that. They can do it now. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? And you shall be saved." Isn't it wonderful? Oh my, what do I see here when I see this Hosea with his heart fluttering, when he's thinking about his companion, whom he loves so dearly, who's gone the way of the world, and he wants her back. He wants her back. And God wants all of us back. May we pray together, please. Father, thank you that you love us so much. We're not worthy of your love. We're not worthy of your grace. But we're thankful that some years ago, even in my little life as a country boy, I saw my need of Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I trusted you, and you saved me. I've never been worthy of that, but I'm thankful for salvation. There's no person on the earth who's worthy of that, because God loves with an unfailing love, and we're to accept that love. We pray that there will be those who will do that now. It was Jesus who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." That just simply tells us that there's only one way of salvation. That's faith alone in Christ alone. And so we pray that there will be those who will trust you right now. That they'll understand that it's not all that difficult. What they need to do is just to admit their need of Jesus Christ and be willing to pray and accept Him, because that's what the Bible says. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's no better plan than that, no other way except through Jesus Christ. We thank you for a listening audience, and we thank you for people who hear this message by way of the internet. Some today really realize at this moment that their greatest need in life is to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Help them to trust you even now. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed. Summer and...